The network children ask for by name. The Defenestrate Media Network.
What happens when mixtapes meet memes? This is Gen Zex. Join JM Bell and Braxton Bunnell as they break down the news, music, movies, trends, and moments that shape Gen X and the world Gen Z is creating right now. We're judging the worlds that raised us, from landlines to smartphones. This is Gen Zex, the culture that was versus the culture that's trending.
We were talking about Michael Bay on the comic book show, and consensus was the guy could take a picture of a piece of shit and it'd be beautiful.
Oh, and he often has.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Some of the most beautifully shot, just dog shit movies you've ever seen.
Yeah. Yeah, we were, it was, I was comparing him to the cinematographers that they use for like Top Gear, and how he has a shitload more money, but you know they shoot cars every week, so you think would even out, but he's light years ahead.
I would say Michael Bay specifically Transformers defined action movies for like a decade. Like after that, every action movie was trying to mimic that like Michael Bay style of direction.
Yep. Go fast, blow it up, tight shot. But yeah, he's the dude's got an eye. You know, it's not very good at reading scripts, but it's really good. It's really good at pointing, shooting a camera.
Someone just needs to like give him a regular like action movie script like he would direct and just like swap it right before he reads it.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, give him something garbage and then sneak him something good.
Yeah. Sneak him something good. Get like an even bigger like executive producer on it to have like a little more creative control.
Yeah.
Just to kind of like guide him a little bit.
Yeah. Or you know, let him spend half an hour with Jonathan Frakes. You know? That guy's good. But he's calm.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, we're here for the show this week. I believe, sir, that you went first last week, so I'll go first this week.
All right.
The week of August 12th, 1988. Civil Liberties Act of 1988. Yep, you heard me. Reagan signed a historic measure on August 10th, providing $20,000 in restitution payments to Japanese Americans who were incarcerated in camps during World War II, to which the ancestors of slaves are like, the fuck? The Republican National Convention was going to be in New Orleans, Louisiana. Delegates started to arrive to nominate George Herbert Walker Bush for president.
HW.
Yeah. Steve Winwood held the number one spot in the United States Billboard Hot 100 with his hit song Roll With It. But we had the drought. We had the 1988 drought. Much of the United States continued to suffer through a devastating drought and severe heat waves, which caused massive crop damage and billions of dollars in losses across the country. Boston Red Sox defeated the Detroit Tigers 9-4, securing a then American League record of 23 consecutive home victories.
Wow.
The Duke and Duchess of York welcomed their first child, Princess Beatrice. And former South African political prisoner Nelson Mandela was hospitalized to receive treatment for tuberculosis. Because if John Green's taught me anything in the last few years, it's that everything is tuberculosis. And then in theaters, Martin Scorsese's The Last Temptation of Christ which we will also be watching at some point on this show.
I don't think I've seen that.
Imagine Harvey Keitel with shock red hair.
Okay.
That's the movie.
All right.
Yeah. What is it? I can't remember. Anyway, fuck it. Last Temptation of Christ officially opened in theaters in select cities on August 12th, drawing massive protests and boycotts from various religious groups. On the same day, The Western, starring Emilio Estevez, Kiefer Sutherland, Dylan, I'm going to say Mega Hunt. What the hell is his name? Dylan something?
Oh, I'm looking at the cast list. There's not a Dylan on here.
No, there is. Dermot. Dermot, not Dylan. Dermot. Dermot Mulroney. Terrence fucking Stamp. Priscilla. Priscilla, mm-hmm. Queen of the Desert. My Name is Zod. Kneel Before Me. Terrence Stamp was in this movie for about a minute and a half. And Jack fucking Palance. Love Jack Palance. Worst actor of all time. He's so bad.
He was kind of like, I feel like he kind of set the tone for this movie of kind of like a goofy villain.
Yeah.
Like he was very just comically evil
the
entire time.
And Irish.
Oh, yes. Very
bad
Irish.
Accent. Who else do we have? Kiefer Sutherland, Lou Diamond Phillips, Charlie Sheen, Casey Seismasco, whom I don't know that I know. But he played Charlie. He did a great job. I liked him a lot.
The only person that I really like clocked right off the bat were, was Lou Diamond Phillips. I didn't recognize like Kiefer Sutherland and Emilio Estevez.
See, I recognize them more from this time than I do now.
Okay.
You know, just because this is when I knew them. This is when I was going to their movies, you know. Kiefer Sutherland was in that vampire movie I suddenly can't remember the name of. Lost Boys, you know. Charlie Sheen was in fucking everything, including Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Emilio Estevez was all over the place, you know. So, I mean, these guys, these were just the movies I was going to at the time.
That's fair. I mean, I think it's because, like, my main connection to Kiefer Sutherland, because he was in 24, yeah?
Yeah.
The show.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I never watched any of 24, but played the hell out of Metal Gear Solid 5, The Phantom Pain, where he is Big Boss and Venom Snake, respectively. And then Lou Diamond Phillips, I recognize him from Longmire.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Longmire is such a fantastic show, and he is amazing in that.
Well, he really is. He plays Henry very well.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so Young Guns. I was raised with the Westerns.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and this at the time that it came out, I shit you not, and I'm not speaking for everyone on this one, like I would with something delightful like the Rocky Horror Picture Show. I need to put that on the list. you know, this was the Avengers for Westerns fans.
Okay,
this was
Westerns Infinity War.
Yeah, I mean, really, it was brash, it was exciting, it was cocky. You know, it was not your father's Western.
Fantastic practical effects.
Yeah.
On the gunshots.
Yeah. Yeah. Very, very, very well shot. So the film follows Billy the Kid, played by Emilio Estevez, who was a delight as Billy the Kid throughout.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was his best little smart ass self. It's great. I liked it. And so he gets adopted by Terrence Stamp And Zod's all, you can stay here, but you got to learn how to read. And then he turns out he can read quite well. You know, and then they hang out and they kind of get attached. And then there's a cattle problem, because there's always a cattle problem.
Yeah, I think it was Tunstall was putting in a bid on Murphy's cattle.
Yep.
Or whatever, the cattle contract.
Yep, trying to run him off because he's English. So they just end up murdering Zod. John, I can't remember, Tunstall, was it?
Yeah, John Tunstall.
John Tunstall. So they murder him. The boys get deputized and go a little apeshit.
Billy goes apeshit. And then some others fall in line.
Yes. Yes. So this was a star-making vehicle for Emilio Estevez. You know? Mm-hmm. It was just fun. And it was so much fun then that my nostalgia for it makes me sad that he just directs now. That he doesn't act anymore. Because I'd like to see what he could put together. You know, what would he work on in his old age?
He's got an upcoming credit for Young Guns Dead or Alive.
No.
I don't know how long that's been an upcoming credit. It just says pre-production, and that could be from like an eternity ago.
I'm looking. You can't. All right. Upcoming right there. Young Guns, Dead or Alive.
As of August 2023, film is still in development.
I mean, it'd have to be. Mm-hmm. Even if I was a weirdo billionaire.
Oh, I wouldn't touch it.
you'd have a hard time talking me into paying for the de-aging for Emilio Estevez, and I love the guy.
We saw the critical reception of the first one, and then we made a second one, and now we want to do another one.
Yeah, Billy the Kid, who died in his 20s, but Emilio can pop in and play. What, his dad?
Yeah, original title, Young Guns 3, alias Billy the Kid.
Nope. No, thank you. I'm all right. I'll pass. So, okay, you've seen it before then?
I think it's one of those movies that I watched like forever ago and just kind of like was basically like, it was okay. Because like when I grew up, I had watched like The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. I'd watched the Dollars trilogy. Mule for Sister Sarah, The Searchers. And some of them had been like, I just watched them on my own, and some of them had been, I would watch them with my grandpa sometimes, because my grandpa would always have a Western on.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was kind of my exposure to him. And so I had like a really high bar for Westerns.
Same. Yeah.
And then I watched this, and it was kind of like, it was okay. And then I think I just forgot about it because watching some of this, there were definitely moments where it's like, oh, I've seen this before.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like a whole, movie that I remembered.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've seen it several times and there were a couple of parts I didn't remember. It's not a great movie. You know, it's no Silverado. Which is also not a great movie, even though it's probably my favorite Western. Mm-hmm. I love Silverado. Kevin Kline can do no wrong for me. You know? Have you seen Silverado?
I don't think I've seen that one.
Scott Glenn. Danny Glover. Brian Dennehy. Fucking love Brian Dennehy.
Okay, yeah.
Kevin Kline. Jeff Goldblum. I mean, it's like fucking everybody's in it. Mm-hmm. And yeah, no, I don't want to spoil it for you, but there's gunfights.
Okay.
Kevin Costner. Young Kevin Costner. And he acts in it.
Oh, he acts in it?
Yeah. And it's not bad. You know, it's like, did you ever see Tin Cup?
No.
Okay. We've got movies to watch, sir. We do. I was going to say, yeah, it's the next time I think he tried to act was the movie Tin Cup with Rene Russo. But no, okay. No, Silverado is one of my favorites. But my dad is the same. Every birthday, holiday, Christmas, whatever, I'd pop onto Amazon and shoot him down new Western DVDs. Mm-hmm. So that he didn't have to wait for him to roll around. Rio Bravo's his favorite. So when he was here on hospice with us in January, we had that on a few times.
Okay.
Yeah. So we did not put Young Guns on because that's not the kind of movie dad would like.
No, that's fair. Okay, so where were we? Tunsil just got killed.
So Tunsil's dead. The boys get deputized, you know, and go to start arresting folks. And Billy decides, we're going to start killing folk.
Yes.
And I understand. So he shoots that guy in the shitter.
Mm-hmm.
Which just starts everything. And the part, okay, so there's one part of this movie that has stuck with me and gets quoted in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It's two different lines, but they're in the same little scene area. And that's, did you guys see the size of that chicken?
Oh, yes.
It's giant chicken. She's my butterfly.
Yeah, that is.
And I'm her flower.
That was a very interesting scene. It kind of came out of nowhere for me.
Well, that and sometimes nature provides at odd moments.
Mm-hmm.
But remember, Chavez needed to take them through Indian territory. So he got them high first so they weren't stupid, is my guess.
I imagine that's probably why he did it.
Yeah. Because Billy was still riding backwards in the saddle the whole time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think he needed to mellow them out before they went through.
Yeah. So what, he met Pat Garrett, which is historical. Pat Garrett was played by Patrick Wayne, who back in this particular area was your big-jawed guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you would see him in all sorts of shit. But yeah, Brian Keith, Buckshot Roberts, that was great.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that whole little gunfight was really fun.
Yep. I did enjoy that. And that's, you know, we lose Charlie Sheen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so anyway, the boys, they end up getting trapped. You know, there is a very big shootout, which is one of my other favorite lines in that. Hey! You guys got Charlie out there? Yeah, pops up. Not
Charlie
anymore.
Ain't with you no more.
Charlie ain't with you no more. That was great.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it didn't, I mean, Tombstone's got better lines, but this one had a few really, really golden ones.
Oh, yeah. I've been saying, was Wyatt, I am rolling at work the past couple of days. But yeah, I thought it was really cool because it did kind of really get into Billy the Kid just kind of being blood hungry.
A little psychopath.
Yeah, turning into quite the little psychopath towards the end of the movie. It's very much like a revenge at all costs. Like, it doesn't matter if I bring down everyone close to me as long as Murphy dies.
Which works, you know, good little ending to the movie.
Mm-hmm.
But did you know there's a Young Guns 2?
I saw the, when I like looked up the cast on like IMDb, like during the movie.
Yeah.
I saw there was a Young Guns 2. I have never seen it.
I don't know that I'll make you watch it. I will probably watch it myself because it left no impression on me. I'm like, well, what do they do? Just introduce him to Pat Garrett for an hour and a half? I don't, you know.
Oh, Christian Slater's in it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And John Bon Jovi's.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Damn it. Now I have to watch it.
My bad.
Damn it. When was Young Guns 2? What year was that?
1990.
There it is. He played Chavez. He's Chavez. That's all I've got. You want to take a break?
Yeah.
Come
yeah,
back. We'll talk about that thing you want to talk about. I remember what it is, and I'm upset about it.
Okay.
Okay. We'll be right back, folks.
In a world where MAGA is banning and burning books, it is a revolutionary act to read. It's Monday in America is a bold collection from the left show's J.M. Bell about politics, family, aging, and the uncomfortable truths we keep avoiding. No talking points, just real life in a divided country. Order your copy of It's Monday in America today for just $14.99 at MondayInAmerica.com. If you're looking to feel hopeful or inspired, or if you're just frustrated and unsure about where we're headed, this book provides a unique look at the life of a Gen X liberal, the challenges and victories, and the question, what kind of world have we built for our children? It's Monday in America. $14.99 at MondayInAmerica.com. It's Monday in America. Better to die on your feet than live on your knees.
What if there was one place where comic book fans could get everything? News, reviews, debates, and deep dives every single week.
And not just we read one issue and Googled the rest kind of takes. We're talking 15 years deep, over 600 episodes.
That's right. The world's greatest comic book podcast has been breaking down Marvel, DC, indie books, movies, and fandom culture long before it was cool.
Whether you're a lifelong collector,
a casual fan who just saw the latest superhero movie,
or someone trying to figure out where to even start,
we have got you covered.
We don't always agree, which makes it way more fun.
Yeah, way more fun.
New episodes every Tuesday.
Real opinions, real conversations.
Zero gatekeeping.
Check out the world's greatest comic book podcast at thecomicbookpodcast.com.
Hey kids, comics!
Hey folks, Jeff here. So, you want to start a podcast? Maybe you already did and it's just not going the way you thought it would. Well, here's the truth. It's not about the mic, it's not about the software, and it's definitely not just about posting episodes. It's about building a show that people care about. That's why I created the Defenestrate Media Podcast Academy. It isn't theory and it isn't fluff. It's a step-by-step breakdown of what actually works. Choosing a name, choosing a topic, building your structure, growing an audience, trying to turn your podcast into a brand, and maybe even a business. If you're serious about podcasting, this is a good place to start. And if you're just tired of guessing, this is how you stop. Check out the Defenestrate Media Podcast Academy and build something worth listening to. You can find more information at theleftshow.com. Don't know why I'm doing a countdown when I'm going to introduce you. I'm over here counting down like we're doing a different show.
Just old habits.
It is. They're fresh habits.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, okay. We've covered my bullshit for the week. It is time to find out more about things that impressed you when you were younger than you are.
Mm-hmm.
So, please, let me turn the time over to Brother Braxton.
I want to take you all back to June of 2013. The Snowden leaks, NSA whistleblower Edward Snowden revealed to the South China Morning Post the U.S. had been hacking computers in Hong Kong and mainland China for years, sparking a massive debate about public surveillance, which we just seem to be all right with now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's see. United Nations reported at least 93,000 people had been killed in the Syrian civil war since the conflict began.
Yikes.
Top songs of June 2013 included notably super creepy song Blurred Lines by Robin Thicke.
Thanks for Emily Ratajkowski. I appreciate you introducing her to the world. Could you have done it in a less rapey way, please? Oh, I hate that song. Oh, and that video. Ugh.
Yeah, just gross all around. It's just it's an icky song.
Yep.
It makes me feel, I'll skip it at all costs.
Yep.
But we did get my top song of June 2013, Get Lucky by Daft Punk.
I did like that song.
That was my first real exposure to Daft Punk. Like, I had heard Around the World and I had heard Harder, Better, Faster, Stronger. But Random Access Memory was the... Was it Random Access Memory? Was that album? I think it was Random Access Memory.
Yeah.
Yes, Random Access Memories. Was the first Daft Punk album I listened to all the way through.
Oh.
And then on June 13th, 2013, notable video game developers Naughty Dog released The Last of Us, which really overtook my life for a while.
Yeah.
This was one of those games that I really just took my time with. I think I explored every possible surface of that game because it was just so well developed, so the story was so beautifully told. There's a reason it's considered one of the greatest video games of all time.
Yeah.
And I believe this was the first time that I cried at a video game.
We're going to get into that.
Yes, it is. It is rough. I think now is a great time to get into that.
So I watched the series when it came out a couple years ago, about 4 years ago now.
I think so. I still haven't seen it. I think because this game is very important to me, I have been kind of avoiding it.
Let me tell you something.
I've heard it's very good.
And that's when I knew when they were going to make me play as his daughter, I lost my temper because I already knew.
Yep.
And I'm like, there's no fucking way they're going to make me. Oh, my God. One of my kids was here who none of my kids like video games very much. And he's like, I don't understand what the problem is. And I'm like, spoilers okay? He's like, yeah. Guys, here come the spoilers on the video game from 20 years ago. But, you know. But yeah, so she dies, I said. And he's like, who? And I'm like, the character I'm playing. He's like, aren't you supposed to not die? I'm like, that's sort of the point.
Yep.
Is to not die. But I know what's going to happen to her because I watched the fucking TV show.
Oh, yes. The opening to this game, when I played it the first time, was just an absolute just gut punch. It was because I don't think I had ever really played a game that had basically told you right up front, this story is going to make you really sad.
Yeah. It got that point across rather quickly.
Oh, yeah. And the game, don't get me wrong, the game has some very fun moments. Later when it was kind of cool because, being in Utah sucks most of the time.
That is true.
But, you know, my family's here, so I'm here.
So is mine.
But seeing Salt Lake City all destroyed in The Last of Us and walking through what I don't know exactly how they base the highways, because I was playing it again and the highways don't make any sense.
Yeah.
But like walking on the highway and seeing the colors of the Salt Lake City Police Department cars.
Yeah.
And then I believe that's the scene where the giraffes walk by, because they've been like, they've broken out of the zoo.
Mm-hmm.
It was just such a cool moment of being like, oh, hey, I live there.
You're going to love the TV show. I swear to God.
Okay.
Okay. If I'm wrong, I'll punch myself in the nuts. I don't know. It was so respectful to the game.
Okay.
You know, I only got to play for a few hours. And still for the life of me, couldn't figure out how the fuck to turn off my flashlight, but I'm just running around with a flashlight on.
Right stick. Click in the right stick.
Click in the right stick. Really? That's R3?
Mm-hmm. That's R3.
God damn it. So yeah, that was the R3. Other thing.
Huh?
I'm a keyboard warrior. I do keyboard and mouse, and mm-hmm. this game wouldn't let me.
No, yeah, this game, because it was released as a PS3 exclusive.
Yep.
And then Last of Us 2 was a PS4 exclusive, and then it got remastered. They both got remastered and put on PS5, which I'd never played the remastered before, and I started playing the remastered, and it's very good. Or the part one.
Yeah.
The remake.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, because there was a remaster where they just kind of fixed the textures.
Okay.
Made it look prettier for the PS4. And then Last of Us Part 1 is a complete, like, top-to-ground remake of the game.
Let me see which one I have. Because when the show was on, I bought the game because it was on sale on Steam. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I would like to play that at some point. And so I picked it up and then never played it.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because I had a feeling that cutscene was going to be the first 5 minutes.
Yep.
Yep. And it was. You're and I
so
didn't like
right
it.
For that.
Yep. No, I have Last of Us Part 1, so I have the remaster.
The remake, yeah.
Yeah, okay. No, it's pretty.
Oh, it's gorgeous. And having, like, I have a laptop that can, like, actually run it now. And so it's, like, it's nice. It's good to look at with, like, once you get everything on. Like, I think I have it on, like, I have it on high settings, but then I have, like, the ray tracing and stuff on.
Nice. So, I have a new complaint.
Okay.
I don't want to be in charge of my follow cam.
Oh, the third person?
Yeah, I don't either let the camera follow me around or put it in first person because, you know, I'm trying to turn a corner in... It's like flying a helicopter. I'm using all limbs.
That's fair. I really like it because it lets you peek around corners you wouldn't normally be able to see.
Sure. No, and I use that to my advantage a few times. Mm-hmm. I just... Fuck, just in just general physics, the fact that my follow cam is also part of my steering, but not my steering, but part of my steering... You know, like a tail rudder on a helicopter. It was just, it got in the way more than it helped out for me.
That's fair.
But like I said, I'm a keyboard guy and this made me use, you know, an Xbox controller. And I will be the first guy to admit I am shit at console games. I'm fucking awful at them.
Okay. I want to know, because I want to gush about the combat in this game a little bit. Because this has some of the most, like, outside, I'd say the only other game that comes close, and not like a gameplay stance, but like just how much thought and care and time and how, like, tightly controlled everything is.
Yeah.
Like Doom Eternal, I think, is on the same level as this game, where it's just so clear that there was so much focus put into the combat. Everything has weight. I hate like damage on weapons and damage mechanics, but like with the melee weapons in this, it makes sense.
Yeah.
I love the resource management. The first game that has really made me think about when to use certain items.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I will never use a Shiv as a lockpick. I don't care. I hold on to Shivs for clickers. Like, that's what they're used for to me.
Yeah. That's okay. That's good to know. I'm not that deep in.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, when you find a clicker, crouch behind it. You cannot instant kill a clicker without a Shiv.
Oh.
And if a clicker grabs you, it's over. You can't fight back.
Okay.
The runners you can fight off, but the clickers you can't.
I'm going to remember that. I'm going to try and remember that.
I think it tells you that, too. It makes it very clear you should not fight them one-on-one.
Okay.
And, like, the gunplay feels good, even though I'm very bad with the guns in this game because they just have so much, like, realistic recoil.
Yes. Third complaint.
Okay.
I learned most of my fine gun control either in the Boy Scouts as a young man or playing like Unreal Tournament. So realistic gun physics is sort of a pain in the ass. And barrel sweep was another thing I had a problem with. Mm. You know? And it was, I don't know that it was auto-targeting for me, but
it has some aperture, aim assist.
Yeah. It would if you got there, it'd rest it.
Mm-hmm.
And I just kept going, whoom, whoom.
See, my problem is I can get it centered pretty reliably. My problem is after firing the recoil, like that's where I waste most of my ammo, is just trying to recenter it quickly while this clicker is sprinting head first at me.
Yep. Yep. And it took me a minute to figure out how the fuck to reload.
Oh, yeah.
That was on me. There's just so many buttons to click. And the truth is, yeah, if I was playing on the keyboard, I'd be hitting a lot of different buttons.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a high degree of just input that you can give.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I don't know. What I've played so far, and like I said, I haven't had a lot of time this week. I enjoy the physics of it. I've been in a couple of firefights.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've snuck up on some people and done some damage that way, which is fun. I'm guessing it wasn't a clicker because I did one of the mushroom faces. You know, I snuck up on him and took him out from behind with just a choke.
Did he have like the big like headpiece?
No.
Looking thing? Okay, yeah. You'll know, because the clickers will like they'll click. They'll like make noise and kind of shamble around. They're very easy to stealth because as long as you stay away from the way they're facing, you can get around them because they're navigating by sound.
Right. I know that from the show.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so that's the difference.
Yeah. Only way you can stealth kill a clicker is with one of the Shivs.
Okay. Well, I think I have three of them. So okay, I'll hang on to them.
Yeah. But I did. Yeah. It's very useful.
When I could play for a few minutes and me and the follow cam got along a little better, I really was enjoying the gameplay. It felt seamless.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
You went in and out of cutscenes pretty smooth.
Oh yeah, especially with the part one, because I remember like, and this may have been was more than likely a hardware limitation on the PS3, but I remember some load times between cutscenes.
Mm.
And like playing this remake, it's almost completely seamless. Like I'll get like a little stuttering out of a cutscene.
Sure,
nothing more than that.
That's allowed. I probably want, even though when I'm trying to follow the story, I always want to skip a cutscene.
Mm-hmm.
I always do. And so I think that's one of the things that pissed me off on my first complaint was the fact that I didn't get to skip the cutscene of the daughter dying. I had to play the daughter. Oh, made me mad.
Oh, yeah. And like I said, it sets the tone so well. Like even everything up before that, like the little like chase through like the town that's falling apart.
Yep.
But yeah, I think that's all I've got for The Last of Us.
Yeah, there's, I mean, yeah, I don't know what else you'd say other than good game.
Yeah, very good game. If you haven't played it, please play it. It's fantastic.
All right. Okay, folks, so here's what we're going to do. We are going to stop here, and we're going to move this this conversation over to Patreon, patreon.com/defenmedia, D-E-F-E-N media. Every week that we record, we go over there for some amazing, entertaining, and usually hilarious extra conversation.
We get a little quirky up in there.
A little rowdy.
A little loosey-goosey.
So, hey, Braxton, thanks so much. This was fun again.
Yeah, I'd never a bad time recording this show.
Nope, not yet. I mean, we are only on episode 7. Give it some time.
Yeah, but we have a relationship built on mutual respect and love, so I think we'll be good.
That is true. That is true that we do. Well, okay. Well, with all my love, I will see you next week, buddy.
With all my love, I will see you.
Aw.
Did you like the show? Join JM and Braxton on Patreon. Patreon.com/defendmedia. Each week they record, they upload additional content exclusively for the Patreon family. Patreon.com/defendmedia.